all the people who put that together so that we could eat and just be able to come and relax and be together. So again, I'm always excited about this weekend because it is just an incredible time to get together, to get to look at people from the Crossings here in St. Charles County, but then also all the church plants coming in together. And then we got friends from over in Illinois that are here today. We got friends who came from Tennessee that are here. It's just an exciting thing to see when God's at work and he's doing great things. And especially this weekend, I'm just really excited about the concept of looking at God as the I Am. That I Am being who says, look, this is who I am, and this is who you should be striving to become. And that means that we have a lot of work to do, right? That means as you look at who God is and all the things that he does and how powerful he is, how majestic he is, the incredible things that he's done in your lives, and then you look at that and you're saying, okay, what am I becoming? If God is an I Am being, who am I becoming? Am I becoming like him more and more every day? And as people who call themselves disciples or followers of Jesus, we should be striving to become like him all the time. And so as we looked at the weekend and we said, let's go through the names of God and let's talk about the descriptions of God and all those things, it was a very clear focus. And that was to say, okay, if this is who God is, then that means that I am to become that as well. I am to be as much like him as possible. And, you know, as you look throughout Scripture, you see a lot of cool names from God. As you listen to the classes, you are going to see a lot of things maybe you have never seen before. And I love it when I'm getting ready for a lesson and I'm preparing for something and I'm studying and I learn stuff that I didn't know. It's so exciting to get to do that. And as I started looking at today's lesson and I looked at the passage for today's lesson, I didn't really understand the significance of why Jesus said he was the light of the world. It didn't click in my head how powerful it was in the moment that it had happened. You think about it, and I've always thought, yeah, it's a really cool concept to think about the fact that in the world there's a lot of darkness, and God is light, and there should be a massive contrast between God and what's in the world, and there should be a contrast between God's people and the world. I've always understood those concepts because I've been taught those since I was a little kid. But some new things that I learned brought it to light even more for me, and I hope it does for you as well. You see, the Jewish nation, they celebrated something every year called the ceremony or the festival of the tabernacles. And I have heard about that before, but I didn't really understand what all it involved. But one of the things that's really cool about it is they had a celebration of lights during that time. And, it was one of those things to where They would light up the entire city of Jerusalem. I'm going to have Ryan pull up a picture for you here, and I'm going to show you something. So this is what they say the city of Jerusalem would have looked like during the Festival of the Tabernacles. And so whenever I was doing this, I actually got in. I was like doing a bunch of research because I was like, that looks a little outlandish to me. I don't know about to you guys, but to me, I was like, that doesn't look very realistic. So I was like, hey, ChatGPT, hey, tell me what. Like, explain to me what this festival is about. What did the city look like during this time? How big were the lanterns that surrounded the tabernacle? And I started reading, and they were 75 foot tall. So those big, like, candle stands you see, those were 75 foot tall. And on the top of each of those, there were four massive bowls of water, of oil that they would light up. And they said it would light up the entire city. And during that time, during the Festival of Tabernacles, not only did you have these massive glowing basically candles that were put up 75 foot tall, they had to climb ladders to light them. Not only did you have that, but the people would light lanterns and they would carry torches and candles were lit all over the city. And they say that during that time, when you would look at Jerusalem during this festival, it couldn't be ignored. It glowed. The walls, those walls that you see would have been a white color. So on top of all of the lights that have been lit, on top of all the people carrying all of these lights, on top of all that, it was bouncing off the white city of Jerusalem and it was just glowing. So when people looked towards Jerusalem, they could see it for miles and miles and miles. It was a city that couldn't be hidden because it was so lit up. And, you know, it was a celebration. It was a party, basically. And they were celebrating a lot of things. And the first thing that they were celebrating and what it represented is God being with them in the wilderness, his presence with them in the wilderness. And it was a reminder of how whenever they came into the wilderness, God led his people by this pillar of fire through the night. And, you know, you get this beautiful picture of God's people being out lost in the desert, but God is ahead of them, and there's this massive light that leads them. And so when they celebrated the festival of the tabernacles, or really tents or pods, they were celebrating the fact that even when they were in the wilderness, God was this bright and shining light. It also represented God's glory in the tabernacle. It represented the fact that that is where he dwelled, and that there was something so bright and beautiful about that. And so they would get together and they would celebrate these things. And just the idea of God had always told them that he was the light of Israel. And so whenever they would get together to celebrate this, they were like, okay, we want to make sure that we are representing God well. And this is going to be the brightest festival, the brightest light that you'd ever seen. But it also represented something else. And the other thing that it represented was the coming messianic light. It represented the fact that they knew they had a Messiah, that they had a Savior that was going to be coming, and he was viewed as the light for God's people. And he was going to light everything up, and he was going to change everything for them. And so the crazy thing about the passage that we're studying today, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So along the light of the world that you've been longing for, I'm right here. I'm right here, right in front of you, right now. And I had never known that, and I just think it's such a cool thing, the timing that God has, where they're celebrating this, and he's like, yep, all that stuff that you've ever longed for, all of the things that you've ever wanted, the life that you've dreamed of, the Messiah that you've wanted so long that was going to save you from all of the things going on in your life, I'm him, I'm right here, and I'm not going anywhere. And for us, I hope this weekend is a moment where you get to look at who God is and you get to realize that he is the light of the world and that he brings life, and everything that you have longed for in your life, everything that you've wished was different, God says, listen, the light of the world in Jesus can change everything for you. One touch from Jesus and darkness lost its grip and the light had arrived. And there are lessons that you and I can learn from that. The first thing is this, that light reveals the truth. You see, light changes everything it touches. Everything light touches looks different. You know, if you look at something in the dark and you're looking at it and then the lights come on, all of a sudden you see it. And it shows you everything. And the brighter that light is, the more you're able to look at that and you see all of the details and you see all of the flaws and you see all of the things that are going on. You see, darkness hides. Darkness hides everything from you, and sometimes we find comfort in that. Sorry, I told you guys my voice is shot. Darkness hides, but light reveals. Darkness deceives you, but light brings the truth. Darkness confuses you, but light brings clarity. And I want you to think for a moment, those of you who have a right relationship with God, those of you who have surrendered yourselves in baptism to Jesus and made him made him the king of your life. I want you to think for a moment about what it was like when you were in darkness. Because that's the way that God describes it, right? He says, before you're in a relationship with him, you're living in darkness. And when you're in a right relationship with him, when the light has come into your life, it changes everything. It brings clarity. It brings truth. It brings change. And I want you to think for a minute, because sometimes it's really easy to forget what life is like in the darkness. It's easy to remember how deceived you were. It's easy to forget like how anxious you were and how fearful you were and how depressed you were and how alone you were and all those things. And you're looking at life and God says, listen, we can fix that. And he's like, let me shine my light into your life. Let's brighten this up and let's change everything. And one of the reasons that they celebrated this festival is to remind them, hey, God changed everything. The fact that we have this light means that we are no longer deceived, we're no longer living in darkness, we're no longer roaming around by ourselves, but the light has brought truth into our lives. In John 1:4, Jesus said, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And God says very clearly over and over in Scripture that he came to bring light and to bring life to your lives. And you need to remember what he's done for you. Ingratitude will always destroy your life, and ingratitude will always lead you back into the darkness. And God wanted them to be reminded, and this festival was a reminder for them of the fact that he was the light, and they needed to be striving and following after him always. And when they didn't, Israel found themselves in a lot of problems. And when you don't remember that he's the light, you are going to find yourselves in a lot of problems as well. And Ephesians 5:13 says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. You know, God says, listen, I can make everything so much better and so much more clear for you. I can make it to where you can see what's actually going on. So many people out there are living lives where they just feel completely lost. They feel like they're stumbling through life, and they know there has to be something more. And they want to find that something more, and they grasp for it, and they look for it in all kinds of ways. And so in the darkness, they reach out for success. And they believe that if they can just be successful enough, that they can convince themselves that everything is good, and they will feel good about themselves. But because they're in the darkness, they keep reaching for something they can never get a hold of because they can't see it. They think that the next relationship is going to be the thing that makes everything bright in their lives and is going to change everything. So they're grabbing for relationship after relationship, whether it be friendships or romantic or family relationships. They're looking for something, and they keep grabbing, and they never get a hold of what they're looking for because they can't see it. You think that the next job, you think that the house, that the degree, that the friends, that the money, that whatever it is going to bring light to your life, and you're dead wrong, and you're going to continue to stumble around in the darkness until you realize that God is the light. Jesus is the light of the world, and he makes all things visible and all things true. We have got to look, and we've got to understand, when Jesus steps into a life, all of the masks fall off, the chains break, and those lies lose their power, and the truth finally has a voice in your life that you can look at and be like, I know what the truth is, and I'm going to hold on to the truth. I'm going to hold on to the light, because I know if I follow that, everything can be different and everything can be better. Because the light, second of all, allows for sight. You know, right after this happens, Jesus does something else cool that ties into all of this. Right after the Festival of Tabernacles, and he says, I'm the light of the world, Jesus runs in to a man who had been living in darkness his entire life. The Bible says that this man was born blind. And this is not just a miracle that Jesus does, but it is a testimony, it is a revelation of exactly who Jesus is. He was going to heal this physically blind man, but even more so, he was going to expose the spiritual blindness of the people that were around this man. Jesus was making sure that we understood that the light allows for sight. And he walks by this man in John chapter 9, and it says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. You see, that's such a cool statement because, again, Jesus is the light. And because Jesus is the light and he illuminates everything, he sees things that nobody else saw. And he walks by this man who had been sitting in darkness, who had been ignored. And Jesus sees people when no one else does because he's the light. He stops for the people that other people walk past, and he touches people that other people avoid because he sees them more clearly than anyone because he is the light. And it allows him to see very clearly what's going on around him. And there are all these religious people in that story in John chapter 9 who are mad at Jesus for healing this man, who are upset for what he's done, and they had walked past that same blind man time and time and time again, but because they were in darkness and they were blind, they couldn't see what was right before them. But Jesus walks in, and he's the light of the world, and he makes it easy to see what's going on, and he takes that man, and he heals that man. And when that blind man is healed, the religious leaders, they interrogate him. They want explanations. Why? How? Tell us what's going on here. And they want theology, and they want Jesus' credentials, and they want all of these things. But the man who was healed, all he can say in John 9:25 is, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. He's like, the one thing I know is that light came into my life, and it changed everything for me. You know what the blind religious leaders around him do? They throw the dude out. They get rid of the dude. They throw this healed man out. You know why? Because they're blind and they're living in darkness. They call themselves religious. They say they know God, but they don't know him at all. And they're unable to see because they're living in that darkness. In John 9:39, it says, for judgment I came into this world, and those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And this is an indictment of them, because they look at Jesus and they're like, are you saying we're blind too? And basically, in a roundabout way, he's like, you don't think you're blind, but because you don't think you're blind, you are. You can't see what's going on around you. You think you know. You think you have the answers. But you're looking to the wrong places for the answers. When the light is right here and I can make everything visible to you, you are too concerned with things that don't really matter instead of focusing on me. You see, the blind man received mercy because he was able to admit his blindness. He was able to be like, yeah, I'm in the dark. But the Pharisees, they remained condemned and they remained in the dark because they claimed they had sight when they weren't looking through Jesus' eyes. And we've got to understand, man, when Jesus comes around, it brings truth and it brings the ability to see what is really going on in our lives, and it can change our lives. The third thing that I need to understand is this, that the light is meant to be walked in. The light is meant to be walked in. You know, there are a lot of churches and a lot of teachings out there right now that will tell you, hey, once you're in the light, you don't need to do anything else. You don't need to walk in the light. You don't need to stay in the light. You can live however you want and you're right with God. The Bible does not teach that. The light was meant to be walked in. And when Jesus illuminated this, he says, listen, I'm the light of the world, and we need to stay close to him so that we're able to see what is going on. You see, light is not decoration in Scripture. Light is direction. Light is direction. You know, we use light for decor all the time, right? You know, in the building here, we can dim the lights, we can make them brighter, there's LEDs on top of the mountains that you can light up, and they make for cool decor. But the light in Scripture is not decoration, it is direction. It is meant to point you in a specific direction that you are meant to follow, that you are meant to walk in, that you are meant to be living as people in the light. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light of you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. He says, listen, you lived in darkness at one time, but not anymore. You need to be reflecting God's glory, his light, and you need to be walking in the light. And the sad thing for a lot of people who claim to follow Jesus is this. They come and they look and they say, yes, I'm a follower of Christ. And if they are, they should be living in the light. Why is it then that when you look at their lives and the way they live and the way they talk and the way they act, you see shadows and darkness? You see, because they didn't understand. They thought light was decoration, not direction. They thought it was meant to just illuminate them and make them look better. And they didn't understand it was meant to be something that they walked in and they stayed in the light, and it pushed them in the right direction to being like Jesus. They didn't understand that at one time they were in the darkness, but now they brought into the light of the Lord, and they should be walking as children of the light. You know, I believe that our churches would be a lot more full. I believe our campus ministries and our team ministries would be growing more, and the kingdom of God would be advancing more and more if believers would actually walk in the light. How many of you guys have ever been frustrated feeling like you're not having an impact on the people around you? Raise your hand if you've ever felt that way before. Okay, now I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes that's because we have free will, and people can choose to live however they want, and you might present the gospel, and you might present it well, and you might live it, and they choose not to follow it, right? That happens. Because we have free will, you get to make the decision whether you want to follow God or not. But sometimes you're ineffective because you're saying you're in the light when you're living in darkness. Sometimes it's because when people look at your life, they don't see a city on the hill like Jerusalem was, this lit up that you can't ignore. They look and they see the shadiness in your life, not the light. And yeah, you might have people come around with you. They might be a little interested in God, but when they really get a glimpse of who you are and they see the darkness that surrounds you sometimes, they flee because they are not seeing what God designed them to see. They're not seeing that he is the light and you are reflecting his glory and you are walking in that light, but instead they see darkness. And that has to change. We all need to commit to that. All of us are guilty of it, myself included, in living in ways that God wouldn't want us to live, right? Every single one of us. I watched a debate on TikTok the other day where a woman was saying that because she's a Christian, she doesn't sin, that she doesn't mess up. And this other lady was arguing with her. I was watching this whole debate and I'm like, That is a crazy thing to say, because guess what? We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all end up walking around in shadows, but God is constantly calling us back to light to live the way that he called us to. And he says, listen, I want you to walk in the light. Each and every one of us, we need to examine our hearts and examine our lives and ask ourselves, am I living in the darkness? You know, for some of you, you need to look and say, oh, you know what? How can I know that? Well, one, Look at the fruit of your life. Look at the fruit of your life. Are you producing good things? Good things don't grow in the darkness. Bad things grow in the darkness. Are you putting yourself in the light? Are you putting yourself around godly people? Or are you hanging out in dark places alone where you shouldn't be and getting yourself into trouble? You've got to examine and look at your life and say, am I walking in the light? And realizing the second part of that is the light is meant to be walked in together. If you are trying to walk in the light by yourself and stay in the light, you are most likely going to fail. You are not going to make it because God made you to be in community. In 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, not with God, but with who? We have fellowship with one another. You see, the light was meant to be walked in together. You weren't meant to do this alone. And listen, people can get upset and they can say, well, a relationship with God is about me and God and everybody else needs to back their way out and mind their own business. But you can't say that and be true to Scripture. You have to be intellectually and spiritually dishonest to try to say that you're going to walk in the light and do it by yourself. Because the Bible says if you walk in the light as he is in the light, it brings you into fellowship with one another, and we should be doing this together. That's why we are so big on community and so big on small groups and so big on all of those things in relationship here at the Crossings, because we understand that if I'm going to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, I'm going to need to be in fellowship with God's people. It's going to bring me into fellowship with them, and it is going to make my life a lot better, because walking in the light means no more hiding. You don't have to hide and be afraid. That's why, you guys, when you come to the Crossings and people get up here on the stage, they tell you their stories. They tell you that they mess up. They tell you you're sinful. And you hear about people's abuse, and you hear about their addictions, you hear about their hurts, because no one getting up here is perfect, and they want you to understand we're walking in the light together, which means everything is exposed, and it doesn't need to be hidden. There's no more need for pretending. There's no more need for living a double life, and there's no more need to do it alone anymore. You are meant to walk in the light, and you are meant to walk in the light together. It means letting God search you. It means letting him clean you, letting him heal you, letting him restore you, and letting him bring you into a relationship with his people. And listen, darkness may be comfortable for you, but it is killing you. The darkness is going to destroy you eventually. And while it may be comfortable, it will be the end of you. But light, at first, it may feel uncomfortable being exposed, but it is going to save you. It is going to change everything if you allow yourself to walk in the light. And the fourth thing that we need to realize is this, that the light isn't just for you. You know, it's not just for you. It was never meant to be hoarded. Light was always meant to be shared. Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We sing this song with little kids, right? This little light of mine, right? I'm going to let it shine. You know it, right? Come on. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, oh yeah. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We sing that to little kids. And we want them to understand that concept that the light was never meant to be hoarded. It was never meant to be hidden, right? It was meant to be shared. And we expect children to understand a concept that somehow we have completely overlooked. There are a lot of you here, and I love all of you desperately. And I believe that the people in this audience, I believe you have good hearts, but there are some of you whose your light has never touched another life ever. You go to class and you sit next to people who aren't seeing the light of God, and they're sitting right next to you because you got it under a bowl. You go and you're a part of your families, and the way that you treat your families when you spend time with them hides that light. And they may never know the light of God because you are too busy hiding it. You are too busy snuffing it out by putting it under a bowl, because light can't survive without oxygen, and you are smothering the light that God gave you. And because of that, other people are wandering around in darkness. No one expects you to be perfect, but I promise you, if you're walking with your light, even as you're walking, you ever walk with a candle? Sometimes it's real bright, right? But then what happens? As you move, sometimes it flickers a little bit, right? Or it dims a little bit as the light hits it. No one is expecting you to be perfect, but we're also not expecting you, and God is not expecting you to hide that light or to let it be snuffed out. You have to keep it lit, because a candle, if you're looking across a field in the dead of night and you're looking hundreds of yards, you can see one candle across a field in the dead of night. That's what the contrast does. It was meant to be something when people look at you, that's what you are. And that they will almost be like insects that are drawn to that light, right? You ever turn a light, right, in the darkness? What happens immediately? You start seeing all those bugs go to it, right? That's how those little zappers work, right? You like watch them float to, and they're like, and they're done, right? The difference is that with God, it's the opposite effect. When you move to that light, it's a good thing. This isn't like Poltergeist, if any of you have seen this, for you old people, right? Right, you know, this, you know, when you're going to that light, that's a good thing, and you should be going to the light and going and figuring it out, because God is going to change and bless your life the closer you get to the light. And the more that you reflect God's glory and reflect his light, the more other people are going to be saved, because there are people in your school, there are people in your family, there are people at your work, there are people in your city, and they are walking through life blind. They are tripping over their sin. They are running into lie after lie after lie after lie, and they are searching for hope. And God has given you the light that is the hope that they are looking for, but you need to ask yourself if you are walking in the light or not. So again, I want us all to be challenged to look at the I am being who says, I am the light. I am what you have always been looking for, but I don't want you to stop there. I want you to say, if he is the light, I am to become a light as well. I am to be like him, and I am to reflect him. And you need to understand, listen, guys, light has come. It came to the world. It wasn't in a candle. It wasn't, you know, it's not just a candle in a cave. It was not a spark in a storm. It's not a match in the wind. That light came, and that light is still lit today. It came like a sunrise, it came like a fire, and it came in the glory of God, and it was incredible. And light stepped into the darkness because God knew exactly where we were. And guess what? The darkness couldn't stop that light. It tried. It tried to snuff that light out, but it couldn't stop us. Darkness couldn't hide from it, and it certainly is never going to be able to overcome it. Because light walked into this broken world, and the shadows started running from it immediately. They were terrified of that light, because light always tells and exposes the truth. It always exposes the lies, and it always shows us the way, and light always wins over darkness. There is no darkness that is going to overcome God's light and the light that lives in your life. And that same light that burned in the wilderness thousands of years ago is the same light that filled the temple courts that we talked about. And it is the same light that opened blind eyes and it healed broken hearts. And it is the same light that is shining right now in your life. It's the exact same light. Nothing has changed. Light that has touched the blind eyes, and it is still touching blind hearts today. It is a light that has broken chains, and it is a light that still is breaking bondage today. You know, we had 71 people at Celebrate Recovery the other night. How awesome is that? The light is still breaking bondage. It's still changing people's lives, and it turns midnight into morning, and it is still turning graves into gardens. God is still doing incredible things, and you don't have to stay in the dark. You don't have to wander around. You don't have to live in the shadows any longer, and you don't have to stumble through life guessing what you're going to run into next, because again, when that light shows up, the darkness disappears, and when the light speaks, fear starts to get quiet, and when that light shines, hope just gets louder and louder and louder. That's who God is. That's who we were designed to follow. So we need to lift our heads up, and we need to make sure that we are consistently walking toward the light. We need to open our eyes so that we're able to see Jesus more clearly. It is time for a lot of you to step out of hiding and step into the light and keep stepping. Keep moving forward. Keep going towards the light and being who God wanted you to be. Because there are still hallways that are still dark. There are still lives that are dark. There are still homes that are hurting. And there are still hearts that are still blind. And they are longing for something more. And God says, listen, I'm the answer. And I am supposed to be reflecting in your life so that people can find me. So you need to go where the shadows are. You need to go where the broken are hiding in the darkness and help pull them out. Go to the places where hope is fading and be the light for those people. Let them see the light that God is bringing. Because the light is very much so alive still today, and it is still moving, and the light is still winning, and it is never going to lose. You will never lose as long as you are walking in the light, and that light is Jesus. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but I will be the light of life. So go walk in the light, live in the light, and let it shine for others. And let's see what God does. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, thank you so much for being a God who looked at us and you saw us in complete darkness, God. You saw what was going on in our lives. You saw the sin. You saw the hurts. You saw the brokenness, you saw all the stupid mistakes that we've made, all the wrong things that we've done, God. But rather than just looking and condemning us for that, God, you said there's a fix to this, and you sent your Son to be the light for us, to illuminate everything in our lives, God, so that we were able to say, okay, I can get out of this dark pit that I've been living in. And God, I pray that you will help each and every one of us to be men and women who look and we are able to see that the light brings truth and that it was meant to be walked in, God, and that we are meant to walk in the light together, God, and that light was never meant to be hidden or hoarded, but it was always meant to be shared, God, and that we can be the kind of men and women who, when people look at us, they can see something so different, they can't help be attracted to your glory, God, and the light of your love that is reflecting in our lives, God, and the changes that they see in us, God, that they're able to look and say, I want some of what those people have. I want to be in the light as well, God. Help us to be those kind of disciples. Help us to be those kind of followers of Jesus, those kind of ministries and those kind of churches to where, God, people look and they can't help but see there's just something different, something bright that is going on, and that they'll be attracted to you because of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.